those of us who know and love the Lord Jesus, sometimes we're very lazy and indifferent. Sometimes we take you for granted. But we know, our Father, that you want us to spend time in your presence. And you want us to be busy about your business. So whenever walk of life we are, may we be careful always to manage our time wisely. Help us to spend time on the mountain. Help us to be alert early in the morning. We seek your blessing. Give thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord Jesus is a man. We realize this is God manifested in the flesh. But look at verses 37 and 38. Now this is a nice little passage because for a preacher it's wonderful because it divides itself into three sections. So we're going to have a three-point message today, which makes it nice. Hope you can remember that. All right. Verse 37. And in the daytime, he was teaching in the temple. But at night, he went out and stayed on the mountain called Olivet. Then early in the morning, all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. Notice the time sequences. This is our Lord Jesus. What a work ethic he had. This man was about his Father's business. Management of time is not easy for us. If you're a student, it's very difficult. If you're a hard-working businessman, it's very difficult. If you're a hard-working homebody in the home, it's hard to manage your time. Now, you get from this passage that the Lord Jesus didn't waste any time. We tend to waste a lot of time. We tend to do things just to please ourselves. We say we are children of God. We want to do that which honors the Lord. We want to make the best use of our time. Now, without going into any details, and I'm not against sports or any of that, when it comes to doing the Father's will in our lives, we make a lot of wonderful statements about what we should do, could do, can do, would do. But when it gets really down to the nitty-gritty, we end up doing a lot of things that are useless but enjoyable. And we spend time doing nothing. I want you to be careful about this, though. Time doing nothing can be very important to a believer. I'll put the nothing in parenthesis. You'll see that in a minute. But our Lord Jesus, in the daytime, he was teaching in the temple, or he was teaching his teaching ministry. He traveled. While it was day, he wanted to do the Father's will. He uses that sort of as a metaphor in John's Gospel because, you know, there's a night coming when no man can work. But when it was time for him to do what he had to do, he did it. Now, when I was in university, my time was very limited. Trying to get all the studies in, and I'm sure the students here from New Tribes. How do you get everything arranged and in proper perspective and get the job done? Now, I think our Lord Jesus, because of who he was and the type of person he was, always did his very best. Always honored the Father. Always pleased the Father. Now we want to do that. We want to approach to that. In whatever we're doing, if it's study, if it's housework, if it's in our job, we want to honor the Father. We want to make that workplace a place where God is glorified. We're in Missouri, and a couple was having marital problems. The man worked in a place, Revlon or whatever it was for cosmetics, but he was on an assembly line. He made good money. A fella in the assembly, he loved the Lord, but he was a mechanic at heart. He wanted to fix cars. So he took his garage, and word of mouth, people would come, and he'd fix cars, and the oil and the gas fumes would go into the house, and his wife was adamant about it. She said, "I can't stand the odors. I can't stand this any longer. We cannot go on this way. It's ruining our relationship. I cannot have you work as a mechanic in this area." Well, he wanted to work as a mechanic. He hated his job, loved his side work. So he comes to us. "Bob, what can be done?" I said, "Well, what do you mean, what can be done?" "Well, my marriage is falling apart." "Why?" "Well, because my wife can't take the odors." "I see. What about where you work?" "Well," he said, "I sit there and I do that and I do this and I do that. And then it goes there and then I do this and I do this and I do that. And it goes over there. But then when a car comes in, I look at that and I fine-tune it and I listen to it. And, oh," he said, "I'm all involved. I love working on automobiles." "Do you have money to buy a garage and start your own business?" "No, well, there's no way I could do that." "Why are you doing it in your garage?" "Well, it's cheaper and I get the cars." "But," I said, "what about your wife?" "Well, that is the problem. If only she could see things my way, we could get things done. We would we'd have a beautiful life together." "Let's go to your job." "Are you making good money?" "Terrific money. I mean, I'm making a lot of money at this particular job I'm doing, but it's tedious and boring." Let me ask you something. Do you love the Lord Jesus? "Of course I do, Bob." Let me ask you this. Could you, is there any way you could, and I used a word I know maybe, that you could sanctify your work and make it done as unto the Lord? You mean this? Unto the Lord? What do you mean? We see, as believers, we have the right and the privilege that whatever we do in word and deed, do all to the glory of God. To the glory of God? Think about it. Think about what you want to do in your life with the automobiles, and think about your relationship to your wife. There are things, dear brother, you're going to have to do. There are choices you're going to have to make. Let me make this suggestion. You know, when people come to you, and it's not often, and you make suggestions, you know, that's Bob Thrall's opinion, you know. You know how Bob Thrall is, so that's just him talking. You've come to me for advice. I want to make a suggestion to you that you rethink the time you spend at work doing the mundane and dedicate that to Jesus Christ. What? See if it changes. And by all means, get the cars out of your garage, because your relationship to your wife is more important than your personal preference for working on automobiles. I'm going to make two suggestions to you. Stop the mechanic work, since it's going nowhere, and dedicate the mundane to Jesus Christ. Now, the reason I'm telling you, because it has a happy ending. You know, you tell people, well, what's he going to do with that? Well, the next time we saw this brother, the next time we were in Missouri, we were anxious. He didn't write us or anything. We didn't know. He said, Bob, my life has changed radically. My marriage is beautiful. We have a wonderful relationship. No more odors in the house. I did stop working as a mechanic. And I did. Bob, listen to me. I took your advice. That's to the glory of God. My whole attitude changed. I'm still making good money, but I'm a happy person now. He gave up that time element with mechanic work that was destroying his marriage. He took on the mundane and gave it to God. Students, who likes to study? Exams come, you go through it, study! Well, I'll just pray the Lord will just fill me with all the thoughts of the course, and then a little will answer everything. But to study, dedicate that time for study to the Lord Jesus. I haven't dusted this house in 3 weeks. Who likes dusting? No, don't tell me, Bob. Dedicate the dusting to the Lord Jesus. We need to begin to realize that we are servants of God. The Lord Jesus, in the daytime, was teaching in the temple. This is the Son of God. He became a man, and he willingly submitted himself to time. Things needed to be done, and he knew when to do them, when he would be available to those around him. And so in the daytime, now I don't know what time this might be. I'll make a suggestion, because there's going to be some other time elements involved here. May I suggest that he went like 9 o'clock in the morning to 6 at night in his ministry, teaching in the temple and traveling and healing and so forth. He was very, very committed to doing the Father's will. The mundane is there. The ordinary is there. Duty is there. I want to make a suggestion about prayer. You realize this. I realize this. We don't always feel like praying. Prayer is not a feeling matter. Oftentimes in our Christian experience, duty should outweigh desire. Some of you come to the breaking of bread meeting. It's a wonderful experience of worship. I would encourage those of you who come to this chapel at this hour to rethink your mind, your mindset, and say, wait a minute. I want to enjoy that moment of worship in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup. I want to have a wonderful time of worship in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Well, you have a time. You have Sunday morning. You know what you have to do. It means getting here a little earlier. And maybe you're a person, you know, I do not believe the Lord Jesus was a morning person or an evening person. You know how some of us are. Well, you know how I am in the morning. I can't start functioning until around 10 o'clock. I know of a family where the children have to get up and prepare themselves for school all on their own because mommy needs to sleep until 9:30. When the kids are all gone, then mother wakes up and then she can function. Well, when I met Carolyn, I had a little quirk, don't we all, that I couldn't be talked to in the morning until I had breakfast. I wasn't mean or anything, I just, don't talk to me. Whatever you do, don't ask me any questions. I was just on my own little planet, doing my own little thing, and then sit down, eat, and then blah, 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 blah. So Carolyn, in her very kind way, said to me, Bob, don't you think, I know your background, and this is probably the way you grew up, and I don't know what, but don't you think it would be wise to change that? We had a fellow stay with us, and he was one of these bubbly, wonderful, lovely Christians, and everything was bubbly and wonderful, and he'd get up in the morning, hello, Brother Bob, hello, oh, oh, shut your mouth. How can he be so bubbly? We just got out of bed, and life is there. I don't know, maybe it was a black cloud. Like that little Abner character. I'd get up and everything was so solemn. Praise the Lord! Yeah! So, can we change what we do and the way we are? Well, what do I do, Carolyn? Talk. Converse. It's like a little baby taking the first steps. You know, I have to change a behavior in my life. Doesn't she know to whom she's talking? Bob, famous Bob Thrall? I have to say something? So it's funny. So you start out monosyllables. Good morning. That's it. That's a start. You don't realize how you affect other people. When I was at university in InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, they voted me president one year, and so you had to be up in front of everybody all the time and doing things. And one of the students, a good friend of mine, said, Bob, please don't wear your emotions on your face. I don't wear my emotions on my face. Yes, you do. For me, she said, fake it if you have to. But when you get up and you make announcements and you talk about the work here and the outreach we're trying to... unhappiness or discouragement, it's going to affect the whole group. Smile. Be calm. Be confident. Talk with grace. Very important. How we face our lives. And what we do with our time. And how we react. If we must change a behavior to honor the Lord Jesus, do it. Don't give me the excuse, I'm not a morning person. Now some of you may be evening people. And some of you want to get to sleep. But this evening person calls you, wide awake, ready to go, 2 o'clock in the morning, really getting things done on the computer, working like a slave, 4 o'clock and still going. And you're just blurry-eyed, and you know, what is all this? But I don't think our Lord Jesus was either an evening person or a morning person. He was a total person. He did all things well. And he knew what to do and when to do it. Now notice in this passage, very busy. Busy in the Father's business. In the daytime, he was teaching in the temple, but notice, this is wonderful. And this is very difficult for workaholics now. Workaholic is going to say, oh, Bob, I'm right with you, right there. Let's get everything done. Let's get it done and continue to do it. And let's not take any time out. That's wasted time. Now we're going to get into an area that's very difficult to talk about. Especially when we talk about our lives as believers, those who love the Lord Jesus. We have so many hours a day in which we must get things done. And we like our sports. And we like our computers. We want to go online. And we want to email. And there's a lot of good things that we want to do. What does the Lord Jesus do in the second part of verse 37? But at night, he went out and stayed on the mountain. What's that all about? This is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, God manifest in the flesh. He's going to take precious time to spend with his Father on the mountain to pray. I'm going to suggest at evening, at night, that he spent at least 4 hours on the mountain. 4 hours! Do you realize how many hours that is in the day? There's only 20 hours left. 4 hours with his Father in prayer? Oh, that's it. Don't tell us, don't say the next thing, Bob, please. My life, you might be saying, is so filled with activities, family, school, home, garden, whatever. I will do this. I will spend an hour in worship at this chapel, and then I'll listen to some ministry and singing for 2 hours, and that's about it. I mean, that's a lot. 2 hours out of the week spending with the things of God. Don't talk about a daily time with the Lord. And not that much. At a rather unique little experience at school. When I was at Wisconsin. There's another dear saint, dear brother. You know, when I first went there, I didn't know any Christians. Didn't think there were any Christians, but I did meet some. And so I got this bright idea. Thought I was really going to do something. I invited this other dear brother that I knew loved the Lord. I said, you know, we're going to spend all night in prayer, you and me. We're going to pray for the work here at the University of Wisconsin. We're going to see souls saved. And we're going to spend all this time in prayer all night. All right. Well, that was quick. All right. I agree with that. That's a good project. Where are we going to do this? In my room. Okay. So he gets there around 7 at night. He said, well, where do you want to pray? He said, well, let's kneel by the bed here, and this is where we'll start. And remember now, we're going to pray all night. So we kneel down to pray. And I pray. Oh, I prayed for 15 minutes. Wow, the whole world, the situation, everything. And I was finished 15 minutes, and I... The guy didn't move. Just there with his head down. Not a word. So I waited and waited and waited. Not a word. So I prayed again another 15 minutes. Filled up the room with all my words and all my ideas. What is this? So we passed an hour, and in that hour, that first hour, this dear brother in the Lord did not say a word. I can beat him. We play in a competition now. I'm going to wait until he starts praying. That's what I'm going to do. I wasn't praying. I don't know what was wrong with me. Here I am. And I finally poked him. I thought maybe he fell asleep. I said, "What are you doing?" "What do you mean? What are you doing?" "I'm preparing myself to meet the Lord in prayer." You're preparing yourself to meet the Lord in prayer. When are you going to pray? When I feel that I'm prepared to pray. Well, after 3 hours, I gave it up. I couldn't do it. I must admit, I failed. I was so angry. And he looked at me totally surprised. For 3 hours, that dear brother did not say a word. He was meditating on God himself. We had some college-age students. We were having a Bible study in a home. There were 21 students. And I said, "Look, I want you to do something for me. As before we get into the Bible study, I want you all to go and spend 15 minutes in meditation. Just think about the Lord. Anywhere in the house. Goodbye. 15 minutes, I will blow a whistle and you'll come back and then we'll have our Bible study." They all left. 15 minutes later, whoop, blew the whistle, they all came back. I said, "How was that? You there, young man." "Oh," he said, "I didn't write. It was terrible. I didn't know what to do for 15 minutes. What do you mean, meditate? I sat there and wondered what to think about. I didn't know what to do. And it was so long and arduous. I couldn't wait for you to blow the whistle." One of the female students said, "I closed my eyes and I began to think about the Lord Jesus, and you blew the whistle. The time went by so quickly. Why did you blow the whistle before the 15 minutes was up?" I said, "I didn't." She said, "I was just enraptured with the person of Christ." Do you see the difference? Do you know what? We need to spend a little time on the mountain. There's a song that we're going to sing at the close of this. It says, "Take time to be holy." We don't talk too much about meditation. We have the Word of God, and we read the Word of God, and we need the Word of God in our everyday lives. It is the authority for all of our actions and our worship, and it tells us all about who God is, and we read it. But, you know, we need to spend time in the presence of God, in meditation and in prayer. Now, I'm going to go back to the breaking of bread. In the breaking of bread, we're not there to ask God for anything. We're not there because we expect Him to do something for us. We're not there to pray for somebody's broken leg or some problem you have in your life. You're not there to be asking. You're there to give to Jesus Christ the worth He deserves. That's not easy to do. That's not, because we're an asking people, we're a needy people, we want things from Him. It never dawns on us that He wants something from us. Now we know that He's been rich in mercy toward us. We know He died on the cross for our sins. We know that we've been cleansed from all transgression and all judgment. And we know that we've been now brought into His family. We have become children of light. And we are now in His sphere of life. We've been transformed, translated into a new experience of joy. Now in that, why is it, and I'm speaking to myself, first of all, why is it we spend so little time in His presence? Well, Bob, it's quite... I know this is the Lord Jesus. He's perfect, so He could do... Wait a minute. It's not because He was perfect that He spent time with His Father. He wanted to. He wanted that fellowship, that communion with the one that He dwelt with in eternity. Now He's transformed us. He's changed our lives. And do we really want to spend time with the Lord? So I say to those of you who come to this chapel, who come to this ministry meeting, would you please consider, reconsider spending time in worship around the emblems and thinking about the Lord Jesus and offering to Him your praise and appreciation and love. Don't neglect the bread and the cup. Never neglect that important moment of worship. Now, you may say, well, I'm not sure if I'm worthy or I feel... Get away from that. It's a simple act of obedience to His command, do this in remembrance of Me. Or that's something you can do. That's a step forward. But what about your day? Very busy, very committed, getting things done. But how much time are you going to designate to the mountain experience? How much time are you willing to spend with Him? I don't know if I can do that, you might say. I'll make a suggestion. Start, you know, like I was changing a behavior. You know, good morning. Changing a behavior and attitude toward the Lord Jesus. How about starting with 10 minutes? What am I going to do? Don't ask for anything. What am I going to do? You know, there's a hymn we sing at the breaking of gazing on the Lord of glory. How about just spending 10 minutes gazing? What? You know, when Isaiah in Isaiah 6 saw the Lord in His glory, and it was really the Lord Jesus, and these seraphim had these wings. Remember, one of the seraphim hovered in the presence of God. I'm suggesting to you that you hover in the presence of Almighty God. I'll use the metaphor, just to drink in the wonder of His character and of His person. When Moses met God in the tent, there was a young man in the tent who didn't want to leave. That young man saw something of the glory and dignity of God, and he wanted to stay in the tent. Do we want to stay in the tent? Then early in the morning, all the people came to Him in the temple to hear Him. And our Lord Jesus could make Himself available to people early in the morning because He was refreshed in the presence of God on the mountaintop. Now the scripture says, don't be weary in well-doing. We get weary. Why is it always me who has to do this work? Why aren't the other Christians doing something? Why am I the one? Quiet. Calm down. early in the morning. When Abraham was to offer Isaac, in Genesis 22, he got up early in the morning. Someone brought to my attention, that's a Hebrew expression meaning getting things done diligently. And the Lord Jesus was available to people early in the morning. Think about how our ministry would have been if I had not come to grips with this quiet, solemn, unresponsive behavior early in the morning. We need to be bubbly. We need to be overt. We need to let the life of Jesus Christ shine through us every part of the day. And even early in the morning, the people came to him, and he didn't say, "Not again. I got to go through this whole thing again." No. There's an eagerness on the part of our Lord Jesus. And I gather that probably he got around 7 hours of sleep. And I want to close with this. Don't give up sleep. You need your sleep. And there's some of you are doing a good job of it right now. But you need your sleep. You need to be fresh. It's going to affect what you do if you cut back on sleep. Get your sleep. Be busy for Christ, but spend time on the mountain.